This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana together with Xiaoning. Turning our attention now to the Asian economy. Throughout 2021, pandemic recovery in Asia has been patchy at best. Although overall the region achieved around a 70% vaccination rate, the variants that emerged last year have hampered the expected V-shaped economic recovery. Hopes that the travel bubbles would allow for some semblance of normal cross-border activity remained mostly a pipe dream as Asian borders stayed closed.
And this was especially the case for China, which maintains a zero-COVID strategy. Now, aside from COVID, inflation is the new threat looming with the acknowledgement by global central banks that it is no longer transitory, putting the question and pace of the unwinding of monetary policy at the forefront. So amid these persistent challenges, can Asia manage the delicate balance of health whilst growing the economy in 2022?
So for a view on what's in store for Asian economies, we speak to Selena Ling, Chief Economist at OCBC Bank. Selena, good morning and Happy New Year. What do you think will be the theme for Asia's economies in 2022? And what are the key risks to recovery?
Well, I think if you look at the last 2 years, they were very volatile. 2020 was all about the COVID pandemic and the recession. And 2021 was really about the story of a recovery that was interrupted by the different COVID waves. I think 2022, as you rightly mentioned earlier, the focus is likely to shift increasingly to inflation, partly arising from the economic recovery in the major economies, but I think also reflecting the rising energy prices and, of course, global bottlenecks in the supply chain and manpower shortages. So all this is coming together, you know, basically to contribute a picture where inflation is likely to stay elevated for longer rather than be transitory. The risk you mentioned actually is quite familiar. You know, we do fear that there could be overly aggressive monetary policy tightening by the central banks in reaction to the high inflation prints. You know, US-China tensions haven't really gone away, and now with US victims coming, they may resurface again. And China slowed down again, as you mentioned, because of the zero COVID policy. So these are all the known unknowns. But I think really what market may have to grapple with could be the unknown unknowns. So, you know, I just give you an example. It could be a new virus X, for instance, or even like climate change causing more natural disasters and hence requiring a greater policy response.
Selena, could a unknown be the more aggressive Fed rate hike? Currently, I think market expects 3 rate hikes for 2022. Could it be even more than that?
I think the Fed really is in a very delicate balancing situation. They do want to actually tighten monetary policy to take back some of the accommodation that they've put in place over the last 2.5 years, but they don't want to spook the market. So they've been doing it very gradually by moving, you know, the line slowly. So we started with the taper, and then now they are inching from 1 to 2 and 3 rate hikes. Of course, there is concern that there will be a period of knee-jerk reaction from the market if they were to be more aggressive than that, for instance. Because in the past, when the Fed moves too quickly, market finds it quite hard to digest. And of course, you remember that when Fed hikes, typically for some countries within Asia itself or in the emerging market space, they could be vulnerable to capital outflows because of the interest rate differential narrowing. Mm. So I think for now, the Fed, because of the clear signaling, it probably doesn't really fall in the category of unknown unknown. I think it's a known risk, but I think what is unknown is the pace at which they're going to tighten the market.
Now, shifting our attention to the world's second largest economy, China, as we spoke about, the country is still employing a zero COVID strategy, but it's still seeing clusters. How much do you think this strategy will hamper its economy? And what expectations do you have for China's GDP growth this year?
Well, China is a very, very interesting case study because it's a very large economy that is very intent on keeping COVID cases close to zero. So this is in the hope of basically, you know, having a long-term normalization at the expense of a short-term disruption. This strategy actually worked quite well in 2021 because it did cut down transmission chain and the impact on the overall economy was quite limited. But nevertheless, I think we will have to wait and see if Omicron, because of its transmissibility, will actually, you know, prolong the disruption. I think what's quite clear is that as we head into the Chinese New Year period, this would be the second year where the people under movement controls would not be able to spend their Chinese New Year holidays you know, with their families, but instead it would have to be at where they are working. But this also means that China's factory production can actually resume earlier. So it could be good for the manufacturing sector. I think in terms of the growth expectations, we are looking for a further slowdown from around the 8% handle in 2021 to around a 5% handle in 2022. But there are also structural factors that are contributing to the slowdown. Even pre-COVID, China was talking about transiting from an investment-driven and export-driven economy to one that is more consumption-based. So I think to a certain extent, you know, given their population dynamics and the shift and also the US-China trade tensions, it is inevitable that they are slowing down. I mean, the slowdown did happen even before COVID itself. It's just the pace, again, you know, for China, such a large economy in the region, to be decelerating fairly rapidly, that would be of concern to the regional countries.
Now, last year, I think China was very focused on its common prosperity themes. And related to that was a clampdown or a sudden change in policy, especially when it comes to technology companies and even gaming companies. Do you see a repeat of this in 2022?
I think this common prosperity agenda, to a certain extent, could have been misinterpreted. I think it's not really a simple case of redistributing of wealth, but really growing the economic pie and hence basically lifting the tide for everybody. Of course, the way they have gone about it is very China style, right? It's not a usual what we would expect from a very large market-driven economy where it's left more to market forces. I think there are some hopes in some quarters that 2022 would mark a relaxation in terms of its regulatory clampdown, mainly because they want to prioritize, a very smooth growth transition. And then, of course, we do have some key milestone events coming up, right? The NPC is meeting in March. They have the 20th Party Congress in the later part. So all these point to suggestions that maybe they will have to manage it in a more sustainable way. So not too aggressive in terms of the regulatory clampdown going ahead. We already saw the effects of that last year, you know, US equity markets and also the world equity markets actually performed very well. But if you look at what happened with China, there was a lot of caution and a lot of trepidation as far as they were concerned.
And looking to the region, Selena, which economy do you think will be able to remain resilient with the uncertainties that 2022 presents? What are your top picks, if I can ask?
Well, actually, I would say that overall, all the Asian economies are in a much better place compared to a year or two ago. Because if you look at the vaccination rates, they really, really have accelerated in the past 6 to 12 months because of Delta. And also, I think because there's very widespread recognition now that, you know, with all these subsequent waves, vaccination and booster shots are really the way to go. But I think also there has been many lessons that have been learned over the last 2 years, not just on the health front, but mainly on how to handle a global pandemic. So, you know, supply chain vulnerabilities requiring diversification, border closures, you know, tightening in terms of the manpower situation, and hence having to rely a lot more on things like remote working, hybrid models, and even schools pivoting to home-based learning. And I think on top of that, we also see this digital economy really taking flight because of COVID pandemic and the lockdowns. So I think all these point to the potential that, you know, any future lockdowns or restriction measures will be more calibrated. And hopefully, I think the day will come, you know, when we tame Omicron and also the, you know, the new variants that may come. So if you look apart from China, there's, of course, a relatively, you know, resilient in the sense that they are a very large economy. We also do expect that Malaysia and Indonesia will return to around a 5% handle in 2022. And even Singapore, you know, we did see very strong growth numbers last year. And in fact, the Monetary Authority of Singapore has already started tightening monetary policy in anticipation that 2022 would also mark a return to trend growth of around 3-5%. So overall, I would say that the growth prognosis is one of normalization and return to trend growth.
Selena, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Selena Ling, Chief Economist at OCBC Bank, ending our conversation with a note of optimism that Asian economies are in a good position to navigate the pandemic as it continues in 2022.
Yeah, if I look at the OCBC Bank note, which Selena is the chief economist there, it looks like most economies are going to do really well. The only one which seems a bit weak, I think, of course, is Myanmar, because they're having a civil unrest. It's at -0.1%, followed by South Korea, only 2.8% GDP growth.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.